B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's the Mike Mussanelli Show. It's the 5 o'clock hour, and we're open for pretty much anything at this point. And the 5 o'clock hour is brought to us by Guided Door and Window. Buy any window or door, get the second at 50% off, plus interest-free financing for up to 18 months. Call Guided Door and Window today, 1-877-GO-GUIDE, or visit goguida.com. We'll talk with Sal Powell at 5:15, and one of the things I want to address with Sal, story that Tim McManus had in ESPN.com today about why the Eagles passed on trading for receiver DeAndre Hopkins. Many factors, and most of them involve the salary cap and the money that they would have to lay out in a new contract for DeAndre Hopkins.
Yes, we'll have Tim McManus on tomorrow, I believe.
And we'll talk to Tim about that. You know what's amazing? He brings something up as somebody verifies it with photographic evidence.
Mm-hmm.
So I just told this story about, now I was a kid, all right? So I don't remember the exact details of what the play was. And I thought it was a ball that was hit into the right field corner. But a guy sent me a photo that must have appeared in the newspaper of the play at the plate with Willie Mays flashing a high spike and conking Pat Corrales at the plate in the head. And apparently the play was, he must have been on second base then, because apparently it was a ground ball that Dick Allen at third, and he overthrew it to the first baseman, and it went down the right field line. And Johnny Callison picked it up there, and he had a great arm, and he rifled a strike to the plate.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, I swear to God, it's so vivid in my memory to play and how he collided. And there's a photo of it. It's mind-boggling to me. You see the photo?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Isn't it crazy?
That's crazy.
Willie Mays is flying. Like, he can really run. He's flying, and yeah, he used to always flash spikes high when he slid.
Well, that makes you think twice about getting in the way.
And that was like when collisions were to happen all the time.
Right.
And he knocked them cold, and the ball dripped out of his glove. I remember seeing the ball drip out of his glove. I didn't know how to feel. The guy was knocked out, or it was Willie Mays.
So you're right.
I was crazy. It was like I was a kid. I was like,
what do I do?
All right, let's get back to the phones. Jimmy in Newcastle, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jimmy.
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, Jimmy?
Not much. I enjoy you guys between 2 and 4, especially since I was recently unemployed, so it's kind of helps kill that time of the day.
Thanks, bud.
But the Robbie Anderson lack of signing.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, Carolina, I see that they're putting together a nice trio of receivers for, Teddy Bridgewater with mm-hmm. him and DJ Moore and mm-hmm. Curtis Samuel.
Yep.
And, and then McCaffrey out of the backfield. But the Eagles, I mean, since Mike Quick, they haven't had a successful number one draft pick wide receiver.
That's correct.
You know, sometimes, drafting for a position as opposed to drafting for what's available,
I can only go by what experts say, right? Football guys say this is a very, very deep wide receiver draft. So it's not like they're going to take a shot here and it's Aguilar. So you at least have to have that, be comfortable with the fact that these guys are highly rated players and they have to go up and get one.
I agree there, but also in the same sense, though, with Robbie Anderson, okay, he's 27, but you needed that guy that takes the top off of the lid there, and he's got that kind of speed. That's actually
So does somebody you're going to draft, and that player is a lot younger and a lot cheaper. Robbie Anderson's a nice player. He's not a great player. You're not taking a chance player, that you draft a great player.
But still, does it hurt to sign him and still potentially draft a wide receiver?
Yeah, because it whacks out your salary cap a little bit.
Because, when they won the Super Bowl, they went out, they got Torrey Smith, they got Ashon Jeffrey, and Aguilar actually developed a little bit as a slot receiver.
I hear where you're going with it. I just think the price, they're thinking, we'll get this in the draft and we won't have to pay for it. Carolina's paying $10 million for this guy a year. It's not chicken feed.
Because, Mike Quick was one of my favorite Eagles of all time.
Yeah, I get it. They're going to have to pay the guy they draft. Has a bigger upside than Robbie Anderson, and he's a lot cheaper. So you got to look at it that way.
But also on the TV thing, too, just an interesting note. Joe Spano, who played in Hill Street Blues and also has a reoccurring role in NCIS.
Yes.
Funny thing about his character in both shows is that he marries the ex-wife of the lead characters.
Is that right? So Joe Spano was the guy who was like the button. Yeah, he was the button-down detective, right?
Right, with the bow tie.
Yes,
and that stuff.
Yeah, okay.
And he plays the FBI recurring agent Tobias in the NCIS.
Oh, that's
he
right.
He marries one of Gibbs' ex-wives.
Well, how about that? And in that show, Veronica Hamill, who I was thinking of, she was the actress.
Oh, she was gorgeous.
And she's from Temple.
Really?
Yes.
I'm a Temple grad.
She went to Temple. I just found that out. All right, brother, you want to pick a game here?
Sure.
All right, it's Martin against MASH.
Okay, two shows I've seen both of them. In fact, Martin when it first started, because I, you know, got in on Fox when it first started its lineup. But I'm a MASH fan. I have to go with MASH.
Ooh. All right, MASH moves on. Tyrone not happy.
No.
Martin goes down. MASH the higher seed. Three seed.
Listen, it's not an executive challenge type of situation. Mm-hmm. Martin, again, had a better peak than just about any show. Did not have a long run of excellence. Fine. But I still have never laughed, not one time at MASH. Straight up thought it was a drama. Straight, I thought it was not, yeah, like, not even a drama.
It had what I call, who's that playwright that writes quippy dialogue? And it, like, he has these movies that Marsha Mason and Richard Dreyfuss usually star in. What was that guy's name?
I don't know.
Neil Simon.
Oh, okay. But I
you know, like he had this quippy dialogue, like a joke after a joke, like people like don't talk that way really. It's like an answer quip with a quip.
Yes.
You know?
Also, Booney points out that song, that MASH song, is about suicide.
Yes, it is.
I mean, that's how you start a sitcom. Come on.
A lot of people are asking us whether we can post this on the television screen. We would have loved to have been able to do that, but we currently cannot.
No.
We are being produced remotely, so Booney is not in the studio that has all the bells and whistles that can.
Otherwise, we'd have
we would Booney would have it
the
on
full
so,
thing
exactly. And so, what I've tried to do is tweet pictures of the bracket as it progresses. Now we just completed the upper left-hand quadrant of the sitcom's second round. So we will now move into the drama's lower right-hand quadrant on the drama side here for the rest of this show. So let's go to Drew in Phoenixville. Drew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Drew?
Hey, Mike. How you doing, Mike?
Good, pal.
Natalie, keep up the good work. You guys really carry on the afternoons to make it possible to be stuck indoors like we all are. And I know it's painful for everybody, but you guys are like the life raft.
Thanks, so, brother. We're trying.
For your hard work.
We're trying.
And Mike,
thank
I want to just, about the draft real quick, Mike. I've seen a lot of Alabama football because I love the wide receivers that they got, Judy and Ruggs. They can both do it all, and I would love to see either of those two if we could do it. But CeeDee Lamb is definitely like a great door number two. If we can't get any of those two, I'd rather have Judy. Judy, I think, is the top one.
Yeah.
I don't know what you think, Mike, but I don't
I agree that Judy's the top choice, but I think CeeDee Lamb is second. I really like him.
I agree. I would love to see us get him. I just hope that we don't get that Ngukwe or whatever from the Jags, because we need a wide receiver more than another lineman, I think, Mike. I don't know what you
think. Well, I know. I think that would be a good ad, frankly. I think that would be a better ad than Robbie Anderson. And you're going to still draft a wide receiver, but it wouldn't hurt to grab him Ngakoue. That's for sure.
So we could get him to stay at 21 and take that kid from LSU. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, but it's not, you know, I'd be okay with it, but I always be lamenting you didn't get one of the top three, you know? So I think once they're there, just go for it. Grab the guy who's higher rated.
And Mike, I just had a question for you. Mike, what did you think about this week's curb? I thought it was pretty funny, actually.
It was the final one of the season, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. The one last week was terrible.
Yeah, exactly. The one the week before.
Yeah, they closed out the season with a pretty funny one.
And I'm looking for a new show to watch, Mike, because I need like some filler time at nighttime. Can you recommend any?
Well,
like,
the one I'm watching now is called 000, and it's on Amazon.
Okay.
And it has like three worlds colliding, three continents colliding with the drug trade, and how it's interesting, and it hasn't gotten to the point where it's really sucked me in. But I'm in episode six. It's an interesting show.
Yeah,
so check that out.
I'm kind of itching for something to watch. I know tonight they got one of the old Flyers games against the Penguins on ESPN2. I know They got an old Flyer game also on ESPN, too, so I'll probably watch that tonight just to kill time.
All right, brother. Do you want a game before you go here?
I do, Mike. Of course I
do. All right, we're in the lower right-hand drama. We start the second round. The number one seed is Breaking Bad versus Grey's Anatomy.
Not even close. Breaking Bad.
All right, Breaking Bad survived. Tyrone, you thought Breaking Bad might be in trouble.
Yeah, not with a guy like him. It would be depends on a certain kind of caller.
What do you mean?
He wasn't good. He doesn't watch a Grey's Anatomy.
You didn't picture him as a Grey's Anatomy guy?
No, absolutely not.
I think he made the right choice. I've seen Grey's Anatomy.
He made the right choice.
Mm-hmm. Not happy about it.
I'm just going to say it.
What are you going to say?
Your bleed in here. Go ahead.
Breaking Bad?
Ooh.
Overrated.
What?
A lot of people are running off the road here. Breaking Bad overrated.
Yeah, it deserves its one seed. I wish it nothing but the best.
I will add this. I don't know if it's overrated. It is not as crazy good number one or number two worthy as people think it is.
I agree.
Why?
Okay.
I'm just curious.
See, there are some people, now we have to be careful with recent shows, because there are people currently, while quarantine, mm-hmm. binge watching these shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're talking about a slow evolution into madness.
Okay.
And I feel like that was very well done, that mm-hmm. part of it. Individual episodes, how they're built, I thought there were structure problems at times. The overarching story is an A+. The execution, sometimes the same with The Sopranos, by the way.
Right.
Sometimes the execution within episode by episode of The Sopranos, leaving loose ends and things like that. Both shows guilty of that at times, in my opinion.
I think that's fair.
That's my one knock on The Sopranos, because it's always character-driven and not plot-driven. So there's tons of loose ends from season to season with The Sopranos. Like, what happened to that? Why'd they just drop that? What happened to that? Why'd they just drop that? The HUD housing thing being the biggest example.
Right.
They just dropped it. Just gone one day.
Did I ever tell you guys I left the sorority I was pledging because of Grey's Anatomy?
What? That's a real thing?
Yes. So when I was pledging, we were supposed to get together and watch Grey's Anatomy every single Wednesday night. And I didn't like the show. And I told them, I was like, look, I don't like the show. I'm not coming to hang out. And they were like, well, this is what you have to do. And I was like, well, then I'm leaving. So that was the end of that for me.
Wow.
All right.
That's quite a commitment you made to Grey's Anatomy.
No. They were getting together to watch it. And I didn't want to watch it because I didn't watch the show.
Okay.
And that was like part of the commitment to pledge the sorority.
Seems like a pretty, you'd have to carry a stick or nothing. You'd have to do any of this weird nudity stuff to make some of these.
No, there was other rules too.
You gotta watch a TV show?
There was other rules too. But I didn't watch the show. I wanted to like do my thing. So, and then I told them, I was like, look, I don't watch the show. And then they were like, well, this is part of the rules. You have to watch the show every Wednesday night. And I was like, I'm out. I gave back my little pin and went on my merry way.
I quit a job once to go to an Emerson, Lake & Palmer concert.
What job was it?
It was my commercial refrigeration job.
And what, they didn't give you the night off?
No, they shift worked me. They 4-12'd me.
Oh, okay.
So I asked for to leave early so I could make the concert, and they weren't about it, so I just quit. I was going back to school anyway.
So it didn't matter.
Several weeks. They thought I was a lifer. I didn't tell them that I was just a temporary school guy.
You showed them.
Yeah, well. Let's talk some Eagle issues here with the man who covers the NFL right now, and I don't know what the state of the game is. It's right now we're looking at football like it's going to come back. We can rely on football. We'll see if that happens. Sal Palantonio, ESPN's finest NFL reporter, joins us. Sal, how you feeling today?
Michael, how are you? How's your family? How's Tyrone doing? How's Natalie doing?
Well, we're all insulating. You know, Tyrone and I are coming into the studio for the time being because they sanitized it, and so we make sure that we're the only two in here with our call screener who today. So there's only three people in here at any one time.
Okay.
And
so you're abiding by the rules.
We are.
Getcha.
And so what are you doing here?
Yeah, I am in like everybody else. The order of home protection.
just like everybody else. I do a lot of things. If people want updates from me, I know that Ty always responds to them. I don't know if you see them, but I get a lot of feedback from people on Instagram, SalPalESPN.
Yeah, I don't do Instagram.
SalPalESPN. Yeah, SalPalESPN. Uh-huh. It's very popular.
Okay.
And I do two things. I do news and notes updates as well as video updates. I get film study, film clips on different players that the Eagles are interested or have signed. So go to SalPalESPN. I'm also on Channel 6 doing segments for Channel 6. And, of course, for ESPN and ESPN.com, trying to do different things via phone in my home office.
Mm-hmm.
Keep people updated on what's going on with the football team. It's, you know, we're trying to keep things as normal as possible. Hardest thing for me, Mike?
Yes.
Personally, can't see the grandkids.
Yeah, I know you're very close to your family, and you know, like we're all kind of shuttered here, and we can't get in touch with people or our loved ones and things like that to spend some time with them.
Shelter in place is tough for boomer grandparents. Let me tell you.
Yes,
it's rough.
Yes, now you're
you could take everything away from me. Everything. I don't care what it is. My house, my car.
Yeah.
I don't care. You could take my job. But if I can't see my grandkids, we have a big, big problem. So I hope they lift this pretty quickly.
Yes. Sal, I know you also used to go and cover and stuff. You're a very mobile guy. So, yeah, and your lovely wife now nesting at home. How's that working out?
I'm reading Melville's Moby Dick, Mike.
All right. Awesome. You're sitting in the den, in the Sal Pal den?
As a distraction and a way to sequester myself from any kind of marital discord. Correct. Moby Dick. That's going to keep me occupied for a while. Then from there, I'm going to go right to Othello after that.
Very nice choice. That'll keep you occupied. All right, let's talk.
I might go some light reading after that, Michael. I might go to A Sun Also Rises.
Little Hemingway throw in for good measure.
You know, all right, go for it. Other than the movies to watch, too, you know.
Yes, I hear you.
You know, she wants the romantic comedies, and I will go up to and including Patton for romantic comedies. That's about as far as I go.
You're not a rom-com guy, huh?
You know, my definition of rom-com is a bridge too far.
Oh, that's awesome. I'd love to be a fly on the wall. But anyway, let's talk some Eagles here.
It's going pretty well. I'm sure everybody out there has got, you know, we're all adjusting, Michael. We're all adjusting.
That is correct. All right, let's talk about what the Eagles have done and what you think they're going to do. It's what we get the draft coming up. Now, Robbie, a lot of people wanted Robbie Anderson. He got signed today in Carolina.
No, I don't want Robbie Anderson.
Okay.
No.
All right, so
he's just, you know, he's just another overpaid, mediocre guy, Michael. I don't want that. I want them to figure out a way, and I put this on Instagram at SalPalESPN. I want them to figure out a way not to screw up the first round and get themselves, excuse me, a top wide receiver, whether it's Justin Jefferson of LSU. And you know how I feel. This wide
SEC.
Receiver,
you're an SEC guy.
Michael, come on.
Yes. I know. I hear you.
I want a big, tall guy who can run from the SEC. That's who I want.
And it looks like, I mean, do you think that they will sit there at 21? They gave away two picks. He's got eight left. Is that an indication that that's all the movement they're going to make here?
Well, if you remember, a couple of years ago, they had an opportunity and wanted to take Sony Michel from the SEC, you know, a running back. And they were sitting there, mm-hmm. and the Patriots jumped ahead of them and got him. And the Eagles had to slide all the way back into the second round and took Dallas Goedert. To me, that would be a disaster if that happens this time around. So if they have, you know, right now the mock draft by Mel Kiper Jr. on ESPN.com has five wide receivers going in the first round. And the Eagles may be sitting there where four of the top five are already gone at 21. They can't let that happen. In my view, it is worth whatever it takes to put themselves in a position to get one of the top five guys.
I agree. They got to be aggressive, and I hear you. They, to me, they have to get to 15, and one of them will be there.
Yep, I agree, 100%. Now, they had a chance to trade for DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about this here, because Tim McManus has a story on ESPN.com about that. Was that the wrong move not to pass on him, or the right move?
Yes, of course it was the wrong move.
Okay.
Of course it was. Now, let's just say Bill O'Brien, Penn State, wanted Miles Sanders, Penn State. He got David Johnson from Arizona. Maybe, you know, there was a conversation in which Miles Sanders' name was mentioned between Bill O'Brien and Howie Roseman. Let me ask you, Mr. Penn State, would it be worth a pick and Miles Sanders to get DeAndre Hopkins? I know my answer.
You know, I it's a really good question. And it's probably more difficult to get an impact wide receiver than it is a running back. So I would have to think long and hard about it. Taking the Penn State thing completely out of it, you're telling me that that's an easy call for you?
Easy. Absolutely, because of what you just said. Mm-hmm. It's definitely much, much more difficult to get a top wide receiver of Hopkins' ability and production than it is to get Miles Sanders. If you're telling me, okay, I give up a 3 and a 5 for Darius Slay, which I like. Not crazy about it, but if you look at the Eagles' history of drafting in the 3rd and 5th round lately, it's been pretty dismal. So I give up a 3 and a 5 for Slay. Then I give up a 2nd and Sanders for Hopkins. Now I'm walking away with Slay and Hopkins, and I use a pick to draft a running back. I think I'm good. We good?
You know, I'm warming up. I'm warming up to it.
Are we good or what?
I'm warming up to it. I have to think long and hard about that. Now, again, we're talking about a dynamic talent that you're giving up on at running back, and kind of a grain breaker type of player.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, no problem with you.
I mean,
okay.
No. It's not no problem. Of course, you think long and hard, but you know, DeAndre Hopkins is a one of a kind.
Yeah.
Once in a kind of like half a generational player. Just ask how much Deshaun Watson loved DeAndre Hopkins. Just think of how much Carson Wentz would like Hopkins. Yeah.
Well, that's
the number one wide receiver. And then you go get, I mean, listen, I'm not saying that's the only way they would have gotten him. But if O'Brien was talking to them and he needed a run, was willing to give up Hopkins for a running back, I would think that Sanders had to be part of the conversation. No? Yes? No?
Yeah,
maybe?
I would think so. Yep. You make a good point. All right, let me quickly move on to, I know you posted a video of Hargrave, so you must really like that move that the Eagles made.
No, I do. I like him. I think he's a good player. I mean, I'm not crazy about the fact that they keep spending and spending and spending on defensive tackles, but he was available. They need one. And he is going to be an impact player. The video that I show you is of him just steamrolling Marshall Yanda and sacking Lamar Jackson right up front against the Baltimore Ravens in the A gap, which is exactly what you want. This is the modern NFL. Michael, you want pressure up the middle. You want to play press coverage on the outside. Slow down the wide receivers. Get pressure in the quarterback's face. Make sure he can't step up into the pocket and get sacks, and shut down the passing game. That's the whole NFL. And the antidote is that you have an option quarterback who can move. And so that is the bottom line. If you can do that, to me, you're really improving your defense. I think they have really improved their defense. You know, I give the Eagles right now a solid A-. I think they've done a really good job in the offseason. I'm not suggesting they failed completely in not getting DeAndre Hopkins. But if they had the opportunity to get him, they should have got him. Because if you're telling me that Justin Jefferson is DeAndre Hopkins right now at number 15, and I do get it, and I saw what Timmy Mack wrote on ESPN.com, and if you haven't read it, it's terrific. Because of how much they have in 10 players with their salary cap right now, it's a lot of money. They got $125 million of the cap space, which is 67%.
Yep.
In the top 10 players. Timmy Mack's got it laid out for you.
Yep.
So their roster management in terms of the cap is top heavy. I get that. With Wentz, now with Slay, with Fletcher Cox, with Lane Johnson, they're top heavy. I get it. So you need to get not only younger and faster, but you got to get cheaper. And I get that. And maybe they would have had to overpay for a little bit for DeAndre Hopkins, but I think it would have been worth it.
All right. Sal, always a pleasure.
Don't call me Sal. Call me Ishmael.
All right. Good luck. Good luck. Good luck with Moby Dick. And I don't know if you've been listening today. We have Field 64 of dramas and sitcoms going. Would you like to attempt a game?
Absolutely.
All right. Here we go with a Sal Pal selection. This is the second round now. Lower right hand quadrant dramas. The 5 seed is X-Files. Versus the 13th seed old school Columbo.
Oh, that is such an easy one for me. It's got to be Columbo.
Oh, I knew he was going to go Columbo. All right, Sal.
You set up the board for me for Columbo. Now, listen, I love David Duchovny in the Californication permutation of his life. No question. I love that show. But I'd go Columbo all day for the upset with the 13th
season. You're going Dusty Peter Falk. I like it. All right. We'll talk to you.
All right. I'll talk to you, Michael.
There it is, Sal Pal. Going Columbo.
A look at that Cinderella run. Cinderella run for Columbo into the Sweet 16.
Cinderella run for Columbo. He takes Columbo over the X-Files.
Watch out for Columbo. Watch out.
He's a sleeper.
Take a quick break. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, let's get the final Twitter poll with Natalie Aganoff, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Get your lawnmower zero turn or any of your small engine tools up and running again in time for spring with Paul B. Moyer and Sons online parts warehouse. Visit poweredbymoyer.com. Nat.
Thanks, Mike. Over 2,100 votes on today's poll. Even though I've reversed the decision to cut the salaries, will this impact your opinion of Sixers ownership moving forward? 69% say yes, 31% say no.
All righty. Thank you, Nat. You know, I was reading a story yesterday. It was in the New York Post, I think. No, because we're all getting delivery, home delivery now.
Mm-hmm.
Food. Did you see that story on the strip club that is employing their strippers now as topless delivery food people?
I did not. How does that work exactly?
The place produces food, obviously. It's a club that also had food.
And they're allowed to stay open for takeout. If you had a kitchen active.
Exactly.
Most gentlemen's club have one.
Right. So there's strippers who now don't have any means of getting any kind of money. Now they're employing them as delivery people. And they deliver the food topless with pasties.
And this is in New York, isn't it? Chilly there?
No, it's not New York. It's not New York.
In the New York Post.
It's out west, I think.
Well, it's warmer.
Okay.
Well, you know what?
Well, if they wear like a trench coat,
they travel with a big goon bouncer.
That makes sense. You got to
And the delivery charge is $30. So basically, you're paying $30 delivery charge just to see pasty, breasted women.
Like, I'm completely out on that. Like, I'm so out on that. Like, so out on that.
$30. Seriously, I'm judging here. But how desperate do you have to be just to get a glance at a woman's bosom who brings you food for, 5 seconds?
Now, especially when the internet is free.
She might stay for one song.
Who's got the solo? The guy's got a boombox, the bouncer?
No, the guy's
got a solo. We can play his iPhone.
Hold on. I gotta play Pour Some Sugar on Me. You have to stand there until the song's over.
I did not read that part of it. I just think it's the delivery.
I agree with you.
Thank you. Here's money for the food. That's a $50 bill.
Yeah, come on.
Here are your mega fries.
right, and now the food's getting cold. Matter of fact, just go. I'm hungry. Like, just go. Good day. Go.
Good day, sir.
Yeah. Yes.
It's enterprising. Drew in Westchester, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Drew.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
What's up, Drew?
So I'm actually stuck down here in Pompano Beach, Florida at the time. They keep messing with my flight, so I'm not sure when I'm
going
back to Philly. Yeah.
How long have you been down there? So you're stranded?
I left last week, and now they keep sending me. They wanted me to fly out of Miami, and then they wanted me to connect into Dallas, and so like I don't know. I eventually got a flight booked on Thursday, though, direct flight from Fort Lauderdale to Philly. Hopefully, so.
Wow. So what are you doing? Like,
my dad has a place here, Pompano Beach. So we're just hanging out, just getting a lot of takeout, and I'm just hanging out with him, and.
At least you're with your dad. You're not stranded by yourself somewhere.
No. I came down here to be with him. He's in his 70s, so just hanging out with him and just enjoying the nice weather. We can hang out on the deck, and he's got a private beach, so we're all good like that. We're self-isolating, so it's all good.
Yes. All right. Well, that's awesome. So hopefully you get back safe.
Yeah, I hope so, too. So you touched on a little bit earlier about the whole cancellation of just the hockey and NBA season, and I'm with you, Mike. I think it... with things that they're not going to get any better. I don't see. I mean, if anything, I could see them possibly maybe starting this up, but then just having no fans. Do you think that's a realistic possibility? No,
I hope not. Because, that's just they're shoehorning sports for you. It's all about fan involvement. So if you can't have fan involvement, what does the game mean, really? To get a game in? I don't understand that rationale. If it's done, it's done. There's nothing you can do about it. TV money at stake on it. I guess it's a product they could televise and market and do stuff like that. So, but as far as the fan goes, it's like, what's the point? Are we really interested in that?
Yeah, I know. It's just such a horrible time of the year, with the cancellation of the tournament and then the playoffs that we're about,
I guess we would be. Let's pitch our baseball game with no fans. I guess we'd sit there and watch it, but...
Yeah, baseball be pretty tough.
Yeah. All right, brother, you want a game?
Yeah, bud.
All right, here we go. Law and Order, the 6th seed versus the 3 seed in this bracket, the West Wing.
I guess any other the original Law and Order. West Wing was a pretty good show. They did a pretty good job with that. So I'll go West Wing.
All right. The West Wing survives, and Tyrone's happy.
No, I'm not.
You're not?
No.
I thought you didn't like Law & Order.
I don't love Law & Order against the first round opponent. I think the West Wing, overrated, also ran too long. Also, big, I think Rob Lowe's way overrated as an actor.
Martin Sheen wasn't.
He did a fantastic
and
job.
And neither was that.
Allison Janney did a fine job.
She was great in that show.
Law & Order is an institution.
Dulé Hill did a great job. Law & Order to me, there. Now, it's not worth a challenge.
Law & Order goes down. I love Law & Order.
Yeah, I just played by matchups.
You were killing it yesterday.
Right. I go by the matchups. By the matchups.
20
that's all.
Years?
10 years?
By the way, I got more information on the story that I related about the delivery ladies.
Okay.
And it comes to me on the text board from one Mike Jarek. And it is such a Jarek type of story.
It is.
And the company that he formed, this guy called Boober Eats.
Oh my God.
Boober
not,
Eats.
Not Uber Eats. Eats. Boober Eats. And it's in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, it's still a little chilly.
Yeah, it's chilly.
It's still chilly up there, Pacific Northwest.
So there you go.
Huh. All right.
Boober Eats. It's a good idea, like I say. So we're going to pay $30 for delivery.
And that's a way to keep your girls employed.
Keep them busy.
Bouncers the girls have to tip out the bouncers, so you're keeping them employed.
Okay, so it says they deliver the food while keeping a safe distance, dance for a few seconds, and then move on to their next
dance
delivery.
Dance for a few seconds.
They just give you a little two step real fast.
That's not even their music. They just dance for a couple seconds.
Oh, come on. Yeah, I'm
a
out
little
on
shimmy
that.
Shimmy.
Yeah, just all I get is a shimmy shake and you out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I care.
And they send DJ Khaled with her to beat somebody's ass if they get out of line.
Come on.
All right, come back. No sound off. We got more of your calls after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, we're tying it up. It's 5:46. Another fun day here. Hopefully everybody listening had some fun. We'll do it again tomorrow with General Knowledge Wednesday. Another diversion. So the Field 64 will be put on hold for a day as we progress through this. And we have one game left to complete the second round of the lower right-hand quadrant in the dramas area. Rick and Glenn Mills, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Rick?
How you guys doing? Hey, Tyrone, I'm with you. Don't come to my door. Just leave the food and go away.
Well, can I tell you? Boober Eats.
No. You can get any of that on the internet. And Natalie, that was a really cool caricature of you on the screen yesterday. I don't know if it's there today. I'm not home. So that was really cool, though, the work from home thing. I like that.
I don't know what's on today. Is she on today with the caricature?
I haven't seen it.
Yeah. I can't see it, so. All right. What else is up, bro? Oh, yeah, it's the same thing up today, yes.
Yeah, you were talking with Sal earlier about wide receivers and what you needed to, you know, give up and bring in and everything, and there's one thing that neither you nor Sal talked about that I heard, and that is the $26 million problem of Alshon Jeffrey. He is not someone that other teams are going to be eager to take away. He's not a speed burner. I think he's hurting Howie's chances because he's just a stick in the mud kind of. He's okay. He's a good receiver, but he's not what.
Well, I agree with you 100%. They're held hostage right now over it. So I don't know what more we can add. They have to figure out a way to move that contract. Or they're going to eat the salad. They really just have two choices here. So we'll see how it plays out.
Where is Deshaun Jackson in all this?
He's with the team. He'll be back. He's on the roster.
Because I still think he still has the speed they need, but who knows how durable he is, you know?
Yeah, well, that's the whole point. You know, you get to that age and you get injured, it doesn't get any better.
No, of course not. You know, the body breaks down. So, okay. Well, I appreciate you guys being on the air. It's really fun to listen to you during this downtime.
Well, I appreciate you listening. And since you're on the air, would you like to select the final game of the Field of 64 lower right-hand quadrant second round dramas?
Certainly, I will. Sure.
All right, here we go. The number 10 seed, which survived the first round, is The Walking Dead versus the number 2 seed, The Sopranos.
That's a no-brainer. That's a 2 versus a 10, and it's definitely Sopranos. I mean, you got to go with that.
All right, you got it, Rick. Thank you very much. So the Sopranos survives and moves on for third-round matchup. So the third-round matchups we have at this current time that are in the books. In the upper left sitcom bracket, Seinfeld, a 1, versus All in the Family, a 4.
Chalk right there.
The other game in the Sweet 16, MASH, the 3 seed, versus The Office, the 2 seed.
Chalk there, so 1 through 4, all chalk in that top left quadrant.
All righty. On the right drama side, lower right, we have Breaking Bad, the 1 seed, versus the Cinderella 13 seed, Old School Columbo.
Will it end for Columbo?
Well, we shall see. And this will be Thursday, by the way. And then the West Wing, the third seed, versus the two seed, the Sopranos. So the high seeds are still remaining, Tyrone.
Yes, they are. And that's very interesting. Columbo, I'm starting to wonder. Columbo.
I tell you what this proves. It proves that the seeding by the committee was spot on.
It does prove that. A lot of people complaining, and it is going very chalk.
Yep.
Very
chalk. The committee is toasting a glass to each other virtually.
Yep, because they got to keep their distance.
That's correct. Brooke in Delaware. Brooke, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
How you doing, Mike? How you doing?
What's up, Brooke?
How you doing, Natalie? I'm good. Thank you guys for staying on the air, giving me something to listen to.
Thank you. Our pleasure. We'll try our best to stay.
All right. So I just want to talk to you. You were talking about earlier the over-under for Justin Jefferson.
Yes, 21.5.
Yeah, that's right where the Eagles want. My question is, do you think that's their guy? Because I know, you know, the right thing to do in the draft is if you see your guy, you get him no matter where he is. Will they stay there and take him at 21?
You know, I have two theories on this. And it didn't help that they burned two picks. Because I know this mantra, they want to get younger, they want to use picks and all this stuff, replenish the whole bit. I am torn between thinking that they would go up to get one of the guys or play it fluidly. Like, it's okay if they end up with Jefferson, and then as soon as 21, if they sense that somebody's going to take the last guy, then they move up, and it wouldn't be as high of a price. I don't know which way they're thinking.
Yeah. Do you think did Judy or Lamb run at the combine? I don't think they did they?
CeeDee Lamb looked great at the combine. Yeah, they both ran. They both looked great.
Before he timed. All right. Well, you know.
Yeah, everybody was under 40. They were fantastic. Lamb made some great catches. Yeah. He's got really soft hands, and Judy's reliable. So.
Yeah. Well, they need to, you know, definitely get Jefferson or somebody at that pick, or you know how he can pull it off. He did it with Wentz, so. I'm hoping he does it.
All right, brother. We'll see what they do. It's a mystery. What are the Eagles going to do in the draft? It's a mystery.
And I'm still wondering if they're going to trade somebody currently on the roster with value. I'm just wondering for picks. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, well, let me ask you this. The thing that Sal said. Miles Sanders.
And a two. I would not have done that.
For DeAndre Hopkins. You would have said no.
The reason is not because he's a great player. Mm-hmm. I do think running back in this off. He would have been great, but then on top of that, you have to make him the highest paid wide receiver in football. That was part of the reason why Houston had. So you're paying a tremendous amount. Now, if the compensation's less on the draft side, I would have considered it. But it's tough for me to give up that second round pick. I have to assume the Eagles are eventually going to hit on some picks. That means that's a price control player when I'm paying Fletcher Cox and Carson Wentz and a lot of people a lot of money. That's my issue.
At first, I would have turned it down. But, you know, the more I'm thinking about it, it is easier to find a running back than it is to find that guy.
It is. So that means you must hit this draft on a running back because you enter the season with Hopkins and Boston Scott's your running back?
I would have to meet with the committee
and
discuss this and painstakingly go over the ups and downs of it.
Fair.
All right, quickly with Steve on a cell. Steve, you got about 30 seconds. Not even. Go ahead. Yeah, Steve, you're on.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Good, Steve.
Good to talk to you. Hey, first off, I wanted to thank you guys for being on the air. You're the one show that can keep me sane during all of this. I spend far too much time in the morning watching the news. It's just not needed anymore.
I appreciate that, Steve.
You guys, I can hear Philadelphia sports talk.
I thank you so much, and unfortunately, I got to cut you a little short there, and I hated to do that to you, but thank you very much for the compliments. We have to get out of here. Stay tuned, 97.5, The Fanatic. Joe Torti will be in, and then on NBC Sports Philadelphia, The Case for 88, the Eric Lindros special. That was a good one. Stay tuned for that. Everybody be safe and hang in there, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911.
Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.